And can you hear me okay? Yep. All right. So I'd like the AV team, if they could put up the PowerPoint for me. Thank you. All right. So, well, you already know who I am, Martin Walker. I've been introduced here. And today I'm presenting on Psalm 56, especially verse 8, which is on the PowerPoint there, which says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Yeah. That's taken from the New Living Translation. But I don't really feel qualified to give this talk. That's why I guess we call them one-offs. I haven't really had the theological training. I can't claim to be a great spiritual leader. I haven't even had a hard life. So I can't talk about all my battles with depression or anything like that. But this verse really jumped off the page at me when I read it recently. So God seemed to want me to present on this topic, so I'll do my best to deliver what I think he's asking me to talk about. I'll try to be sensitive, but I will mention examples of tragedies that may trigger grief for some of you, so be prepared. There are certainly many reasons for us to cry. We have both our individual sorrows and those we share with all of humanity. So this image here is from just a few days ago, 4 days ago, a battle going on in the second city of Sudan, where there's a civil war that's displaced 8 million people from their homes. Or closer to home, Los Angeles, California, again just this month. Wildfires raging through and people losing their homes, their livelihoods, and loved ones. So let's make sure we keep these people in prayer as they cry out to God, as in this this psalm. And scripture is full of people in tears. There is even a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations about the fall of Jerusalem. Clearly, suffering and tears are a major part of the human experience. The grief could envelop a whole nation, like Sudan or like Judah in Lamentations. It could be a whole city like Los Angeles, or it could be just you and me. Today, I'm going to focus more on individual experiences, but let's remember that it could be a whole people crying out. So I haven't experienced too many tears myself, but I have been around others who have. After all, there are two main groups of people who keep boxes of tissues in their office. One is pastors, and the other is organic chemistry professors. So if you've ever taken organic chemistry, you'll understand what I mean. But let's read all of Psalm 56. God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I'm certainly constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They're always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This is very annoying. I'll see if that does better. Um, This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he's promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he's promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? It's me. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice. Thank you.
Of thanks for your help.
And that's right, that's the other. And I will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for those in California as they deal with many tragedies in the wildfires. We pray that they would get the help they need and that your people would stand up and help and serve in that place. I pray also for the people of Sudan, again, that your people would show love and please bring an end to the war. We also pray for those closer to home, for Judah, young Judah, who's sick today. While we also give thanks for Patsy, who's progressing in her treatment. And I pray that for us, you would open our hearts and our minds to your word and your spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's begin by looking at something that's familiar from Ecclesiastes 3 or from the bird song that many of you may know. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. So tears are a normal part of life. Yet we often deny ourselves the chance to cry and to grieve. Sometimes we want to avoid being vulnerable. But we need time to grieve hard things, whether they're the loss of a loved one or the shame of our own mistakes. For as men, we're told we should be strong, and crying shows our weakness. But no one would deny that David was a great man. David wrote that psalm that we just read, defeating Goliath while he was just a little shepherd boy, leading his army into battle time after time. He obviously wasn't afraid to cry. He's crying in this psalm here. And let's not forget the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept, where he mourns the death of his friend, before, of course, raising him from the dead. In Luke 19:41, he also wept as he approached Jerusalem. Was Jesus weak, the man who chose to suffer and die on the cross to save mankind? Clearly, our modern culture makes men bottle up their tears inside, but it's not always healthy. Grief is a part of life, our humanity. We English have in our culture the idea of the stiff upper lip. That's the spirit of keep calm and carry on. That attitude is great when London's being bombed, but there are many times when we need to open up or just to cry. In American culture, society pressurizes us, all women and men, to be winners. And it's something shameful when we don't come first, when we don't have the perfect marriage, the perfect career. But life isn't a competition. Only one person can be first, and most of us are failures by that measure. I might feel ashamed that I messed up and lost my job, or my marriage, or my son. Thankfully, God loves to work with failures like you and me, and he loves us just as we are. Scripture gives us plenty of examples of his servants dealing with tribulations and sorrows, with sickness and fear. And let's accept that we will need to cry a lot for our own mistakes, for the mistakes of others, and for all the tragedies that life brings. So what makes us suffer and cry? There are so many causes. Why are so many people in Sudan suffering, or those in Los Angeles? Many of these people are Christians, but as Jesus said, he sends rain on those who are right with God and those who are not right with God. That's from Matthew 5:45. So we can all expect to face tragedies in life, including some we don't feel we deserve. But let's look again at Psalm 56, where David begins by crying out to God. O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. So David's fleeing King Saul here, who in a rage of jealousy is trying to kill him. David's only sin is really to be more popular than Saul. It's clearly unfair, but life isn't always fair. That doesn't mean God isn't there. David goes on to say, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I love that line. Indeed, why should I be afraid? God is the creator of the universe and the creator of all life, so he can certainly handle mere mortals. I'm not sure I would have been so relaxed if the king was trying to kill me, but maybe that's why David's famous and I'm not. David had faith and God had a plan for him. He kept him safe through this and many other trials. No wonder he was able to say in Psalm 23, this is the King James Version that we all know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we put our trust in God, he delivers. In verse 5, David goes on to show why he grieves so much. They're always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. Now, you might think David's being a bit paranoid here, but bear in mind, if the king threw a spear at me, I'd be pretty paranoid at this point. He'd only just escaped. It's the injustice of it. When we're wronged out of pure wickedness, we feel it even more. Perhaps you've known something like this in your own life. Perhaps you still feel the pain. God knows Jesus died because of the wickedness of some Jewish religious leaders, but he also died for our wickedness and sin. His death was an extreme example of injustice. And yet, he has forgiven us through the cross. So when we cry out to him, he hears us and helps us. Let's continue. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Just think about that for a minute. Isn't this amazing? I have this image of a bearded old man writing it all down. You know, tier number 172937645. Martin Walker, January the 19th. It's a lovely picture, even if it's not meant literally. God cares this much, that he cares about every tear that falls from your cheek and the anguish that lies behind it. He keeps a record of every tear. And even more, he keeps every single tear of ours in a bottle to remember for all time. Everything from a baby crying in her mother's arms to an old man saying goodbye for the last time. Long after we've forgotten the tears we cried over a teenage heartache, he remembers. Truly, he cares more than we can possibly imagine. Personally, I have seen some other types of sorrow. My dad passed away very suddenly when I was 14, and when I was told, I wailed for 10 minutes straight in my crying mother's arms. But that experience showed me how those around me actually cared about me. It also made me realize how much I needed God and how he was always there and I could depend on him. He revealed what is now a favorite verse of mine, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This can be hard, though. A cousin of mine lost both parents when he was just 8 years old in circumstances that are too upsetting to share here. We're only 3 weeks different in age, and we both love playing music even at that age. So he spent two lovely summers at our house as a kid, and we became great buddies. God has used that boy mightily. He's now the lead minister of a Methodist circuit in Yorkshire, married to another minister, and the two of them have both trained as counselors and do great work helping people deal with grief, tragedy, and depression. We may also mourn the loss of those we care about, just through the breakdown of relationships, or through unrequited love, or all sorts of interpersonal situations. It could be a teen romance or a marriage of 50 years and it still hurts. In my first marriage to my college sweetheart, Catherine Walbridge, we were only together for 8 years. But when we broke up, I would be setting up a chloromethylation reaction or something in the lab at work, when I would suddenly, because I used to work as an industrial chemist, by the way, I would suddenly just burst into tears. Again, I realized how much I needed God. I realized that despite being the rational scientist, I'm not simply the sum of a few equations, a few atoms. I have an irrational side, an emotional side, and a deeper spiritual side. My brother said at the time that I became a much nicer person, a humbler person. You think I'm arrogant now, just look at me back then. God saw me through a lot of tears and heartache and then helped me find Amy, and the rest was history. So. Human relationships are hard, and I don't just mean romantic ones. We might be estranged from a brother, a daughter, a father. When we truly love, we care, and that leads to vulnerability and tears. But God made us this way for a reason. God is love, and when we are in him, we should love and care and forgive as he did, even though it can lead to tears. Sometimes we just lack the human love we crave, and there's an epidemic of loneliness in this country today. We can interact with others across the world through social media, but maybe we don't talk to a real person all day. And maybe there's no one around that we feel cares for us, but God cares. Remember how Jesus felt after Judas betrayed him and he prepared for his death the next day? He prayed to the Father in anguish and returned to find all the disciples asleep and Peter about to deny him. On the cross, he felt truly alone, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We've all felt alone, felt that no one understands us, but God understands. He knows every one of your tears of loneliness. Some of us suffer from actual depression. Someone I knew in England did and wrote songs about it, like this. This one, lots of fun, right? Waiting, this is just two lines. Waiting on a platform for a train that never comes, watching every shadow clouding out the sun. Sorry. In my opinion, she captured her feelings well. Interestingly, she was unable to cry. She couldn't allow that weakness to show. So she channeled all her feelings into music. Perhaps you can relate to that. We may feel like we're trapped in a cycle of despair, that there's no way out, that we're going crazy trying to face up to things, or that we failed in life. Perhaps we regret something we said or did. Perhaps we're ashamed of what we see inside ourselves. Whatever it is, God knows what we did and said, and he loves and forgives us. And that's the first step to breaking the cycle. When Jesus died, the sky turned dark and the temple curtain was torn in two and there was an earthquake. That might be just what we need at times like this. When we open up to his power, we are broken. God smashes all the sin that we built our lives around. Then he rebuilds us on firmer foundations. When you think that you're all alone and no one cares, he's adding entries to the registers of your tears, one by one. So how does David respond to this revelation? Oh, could you put the PowerPoint back up, please? Yep. So my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God. Oh, so actually, I'll hold it there. After Jesus died on the cross, his life given in order to wipe out all of our wickedness, he rose again to conquer death and sin forever. He conquered all of our regrets, our failures. He is the one who's stronger than all of that baggage that we carry around with us. David knew this centuries earlier. Even when things seem very dark, God will bring victory. We just need to trust him and love him. At this point, I'd like to say, one of the things I love about this church is that people really do care for one another. We support one another through hard times and even just bumps in the road, everyday problems, and we give hugs. If you're struggling with loss or loneliness, please reach out to one of our leaders or members or speak to one of the prayer team up front at the end of the service. I think it's Karen and Jackie today. Right. Or just talk to me. We can't take away your tears, but we are instruments of God's love right here, right now. David concludes his psalm with thanks, praise, and commitment. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. So we should respond to God's help with praise and thanks. I should say so. We've cried and suffered in darkness, feeling alone and rejected, and now God has shown us a way forward. Worship and thanks take the focus away from ourselves and put it back on him, where it should be. Remember how the Lord's Prayer concludes, our minds turn towards him. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. David promises to fulfill his vows. We're not great leaders like David, but I see this as a call to put our faith into action. We've gone through anguish and tears and turned to God, who has wiped the slate clean and led us to victory. We now offer thanks and give ourselves to him in worship and service. As Jesus said, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. That's from John 14. I have a slide. That's from John 14, 21. And this is what it means to love God. The Holy Spirit is there to help us follow through and show that love. What are his commandments? And this is from Mark 12, 28 through 31. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. In short, love God and love your neighbor. What helps me to love God is to see his presence in his creation. It lies in the beauty of the best of humanity. A simple act of kindness, a loving kiss, a piece of music, a household chore quietly done without fuss, a scientific experiment. It lies in nature. The beauty of a crystal or a mathematical equation, of a dolphin or an ant, a lovely sunset, a mountain view or a clear lake. That's Amy and Margaret there. These are all my own pictures. And this is where we were just last year in Arkansas. There's so much beauty out there. And this picture was just taken in my garden. You don't have to go very far to see the beauty of God's creation. We also need to love others. In other words, since God loves us, let's pass the love along. Let's help someone else who is in tears right now. The world tells us to mock them, but Jesus tells us to help them in humility. When asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, who helped a foreigner, a complete stranger, who was lying nearly dead by the side of the road, feeling abandoned. When so many around us are suffering, God wants us to help lift them out of sorrow and darkness into joy, love, and light. And when we do that, God lets us have some of that joy, love, and light in our own lives too. Let him take care of the tears. And I'd like to invite the worship team up. So let's pray. Lord, help us to be able to share our sorrows with you, knowing that you care. You count our tears and remember every one. You will also lead us to overcome our suffering, then offer a hand to those around us who are suffering. May your Spirit lead us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.